Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Chatting with Sherry. Today I'm going to welcome back photographer Chris Loomis. He's a really talented photographer. He takes pictures of all kinds of wonderful things. He's been on my show a few times, and he's always delightful. Hi, Chris.
Hello, how are you?
Hi, welcome back.
Thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure to be back.
We have fun.
Absolutely.
We can start by that great picture of Adrian. Adrian Wilkinson is one of your favorite subjects, I think, and she's a fan favorite from Xena, so I thought we'd start by. There's a lot of new listeners. Could you tell how that collaboration started?
Yeah, well, what happened was I was at a convention. It was sort of like one of those comic conventions that they have pretty much everywhere now. And this one was in, I think it was Anaheim. It was WonderCon or something like that. It was back in 2011. And I had laryngitis, so I couldn't speak very well that day. And I was just going to some of the different tables to talk to some of the actors just to say hello. And some of them I knew, some of them I didn't really know, but I was just chatting and giving out my card and telling people, you know, about my photography work that I do. And I got to Adrienne's table and I met her just by saying hello. And I said that I liked, she had a look that I thought was really unique and kind of, she had a beauty look that I thought was really compelling. And I said, we should collaborate on something sometime. I think you'd be a great subject for photos. And I didn't know if she would take me seriously or not, but she did, and she actually looked at my work, and she followed up and ended up calling me. So we ended up setting up a photo shoot not long after that, and then we sort of just got things going. It was kind of fun, and we've been collaborating sporadically for the last going on 6 years now on different things that she gets ideas for. Sometimes I get ideas for, and we've always got stuff we want to do. We actually have a new thing we're going to maybe try to tackle pretty soon, well, at least before too long. So that's kind of how it evolved.
That is really cool. Yeah, she's got a classic kind of look, but I love how she has this classic look and you project her into these futuristic pictures. It's so cool.
Yeah. Yeah, she can definitely run a range of looks. She can transform, you know, from a very, it could be anything. You name it, she could do anything. Because that's, I guess, the benefit of, you know, actors is they have that transformative ability to become someone, say, from the 1920s, or she could be a hippie, or she could be a sci-fi superstar, you know, superhero, or anything, you name it. And she could bring it to life really well. And as most actors can, that's why they're in the business of acting. But yeah, she's definitely no exception to that.
Yeah, I love them. I love her pictures. She must love them too. She puts them on her page. I love when they pop up. I go, oh, there's one with Chris, that Chris took. How cool is that?
Yeah, well, I'm glad you're paying attention to the feeds and everything. That's awesome. I appreciate your love and interest for my work, and I'm sure Adrian does too.
Oh, I love it. I love all your work. I do. Your fashion, your sci-fi. You have so many different styles. We talked about that before. You said part of it came from your love of science fiction, of course, but also cartoons and all different kinds of things. Do you have a new passion right now that you're working on?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, you know, I'm always inspired by things. I mean, I'm always having ideas about things I want to do. But on my website, there's all the categories really address the things that I'm spending the most time focusing on and the things that I probably have the most interest on, at least at this point in my career. So as far as anything new, I wouldn't say so much any new, brand new projects with new concepts. It's more about evolving the ones that I already have, which can always be reinvented or pushed further or made more interesting or made more, I don't know, just take it to another level and just try to reinvent it in a subtle way each time. So it's sort of more of a, how would I say it, an evolutionary track that my work is on, not so much revolutionary, so it's not going to radically change because I want my style to be consistent and sort of be recognizable in each of my categories as my work, but I want to always try to push it further, you know. So in a way, I'm kind of still working on the projects that I have been working on. I just want to make sure that I'm pushing it, you know. So I guess that's sort of a long-winded answer to your question.
I like long-winded answers. The problem is when people say, yep, nope, uh-uh.
Okay. Yeah, I guess I'm more verbose than that then, I guess. But yeah, I can talk. I can always talk, but I just want to make sure no one gets bored. So, yeah.
You have a love of science fiction. I never asked this question before. What was the first science fiction TV show or movie that you saw that really inspired you visually?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, I like the question. I think it all happened in the 70s. I got to give the 1970s a lot of credit because I was born in 71. So I was coming of age to be visually hungry and have a huge appetite for things that were really exciting and had a lot of visual pizzazz, which in the 1970s they started to, of course, with the exception of Star Trek, which was a series in the 60s that had a lot of great things going on. But I saw Star Wars at the movie theater with my mom when I was a kid, and it blew my mind. And I saw it when it first came out in 1977, and it was just like, whoa. It just took my breath away, and it forever just inspired me and made me wonder and made me excited and made me hopeful for, you know, the future. I became really excited about the possibilities of the future because of what I saw in Star Wars. And that also happened in the sci-fi series Battlestar Galactica, which was a weekly series that aired starting in 1978. And I became, of course, fixated on that and any other type shows like that, even cartoons that were more, had a science foundation or science sci-fi kind of a, you know, maybe twinge to them, I was really interested in, you know, so just a lot of stuff like that. So really it was a lot of 70s, you know, movies, shows, and things like that that really got me going in that kind of sci-fi genre. But I don't know what it is. I think I was born with an interest in that subject matter, though, because even before those shows or movies, I would go to the books, the library when I was in elementary school, and I would check out books on Bigfoot and UFOs and just all kinds of stuff like that because I just had an interest in it. I don't know why, where it came from. I just was born with it, I guess.
I think that's really cool. Yeah, I know there's some things that are innate, and then there's other things that you get inspired by. I mean, I remember there was a show that I just loved. My father could not – he loved science fiction, but he thought it was soap opera – space opera, sorry. It was Buck Rogers in the 25th Century. I don't know what it was about that, but I really loved it when I was young.
Yeah, that was a great one, too. I always watched reruns of Star Trek in the 70s, and then, of course, the old Buck Rogers black and white series, which was really funny. I love those. And, there was some great stuff throughout, I guess, cinematic and television history that really kind of piqued my interest, and more so than other types of shows, I guess, and those were all part of it for me.
You were very young, so you probably don't know, but this was a TV series. This was with Gil Gerard and Erin Gray in the 70s.
Oh, yeah, I watched that for sure. Oh, yeah, I totally remember that.
Okay. I didn't know because Buster Crabbe, Buck Rogers, was cute, but it would never have inspired me because it was kind of cute. Did you know he guest starred in Buck Rogers in the 25th Century in a couple of episodes?
Buster Crabbe did, really?
Yeah, they even have
really?
Pictures of them. I have this weird mind. I remember stuff really visually. I remember stuff from the cartoons and the live-action shows that I saw as a little girl. There were shows that nobody else remembers. There was a show when you weren't born yet. There was a show called Isis. And nobody else, it was a spin-off of Captain America. And I loved that show. Now I've seen it as an adult, and I'm like, what was I thinking? But at that time, I loved the show. And I couldn't
actually,
find it.
Actually, yeah, I know of that show, Isis. I think it was Joanna Cameron played the main character. And then there was this Asian girl, Joanna Pang, I think her name was. I remember that show.
You do? You're such a little kid.
Yeah. Oh, I was young, yeah. But, oh, I had a voracious appetite for, like, anything that was fantastical, superheroish, sci-fi, anything like that that was remotely, beyond the ordinary I was into. So, yeah, those shows are all part of it. And that's kind of funny you mentioned that.
That was my favorite. That and Wonder Woman, they were both in the 70s, and they were both female-oriented
yep.
superheroes, and there was nothing
yeah,
else.
Yeah, Linda Carter's Wonder Woman was unforgettable. That, too, I had a crush on her. Linda Carter in the 1970s, oh, my God, she was amazing.
Yeah.
It was just that, I'm with you on all those. I've seen all those shows, and those are all shows that I would watch or tune into, or some of them were more vague than others. Even this is, you're gonna laugh at this, but even in Electric Company, that show that was on the 70s, there was the Spidey series that they did with the Spider-Man character, and he never really spoke, but they'd always put like these like punctuated like text messages that he would say, and he'd be thinking. It was kind of like a real life comic book that they did out of it. It was really, really goofy, but I love that show too. That little skit they would do in Electric Company.
Yeah, I know. And they were so creative on PBS about that with Sesame Street and Electric Company and all those things. It was just really cool.
Oh, my God, yeah. Sesame Street, too. I mean, I used to watch – I would watch that, of course, even when I was a little bit younger than even 6 and 5. And some of the characters they have were just downright creepy. I mean, and I look back to this day and I think, God, they don't ever put, you know, monsters and characters in the modern-day version like that, I guess, because they look back at it and think, geez, what were we thinking? And what were we smoking? We have these crazy looking, you know, creepy characters on the show. And it was just funny. If you look back at like Sesame Street from like 1972 or 1971 or 1970, they look pretty interesting.
Well, I think also Jim Henson meant it for everybody. That's one thing he said, was that he didn't just want it. He wanted it for children, but he wanted it for everybody. He was doing, like we were talking about last time, what they did with the Warner Brother cartoons with Bugs Bunny. They were not just for children. They were for everybody.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and I would watch those, too. It's funny. I mean, all these things you're mentioning, I was filling my little brain with, and that was what sort of incidentally was maybe formulating my creative, juices that got me where I am as an adult. And even as an adult, I still have a fondness and will watch these programs almost sometimes daily, in some cases if I have the time at the end of the day after I'm all done with my stuff. I'll watch some of these old shows just to, you know, go down memory lane or to just relax, or they make me feel like I'm at home, or they just, I don't know, it's just a very comforting thing to see these old programs and shows and stuff amidst the sea of great stuff that's out now that's being produced in modern day too. There's just so much stuff to look at and watch and everything. It's just mind-boggling.
I kind of blame Instagram, because what it does is it makes me kind of want to see these old shows again, because they show these little clips from like old really shows, and they're like, oh, I remember that. Oh, I remember that too. And it's like, I want to watch it. And so you like search on your TV to see if you can find it.
Yeah, exactly.
Another show from that period that I loved was The Bionic Woman and the $6 Million Man.
Yeah, those are great too. Remember all those.
There's a weird story. Lindsay Wagner as the Bionic Woman. I loved her. I love Lindsay Wagner in anything. But there's a scene where she plays a double. There was two Jamie Summers. And the double has a southern accent. And she turns to Jamie and she goes, "There's only going to be one Jamie Summers now." And I learned my southern accent from that.
That's hilarious.
I was about 12.
I never would have known.
I was like, "Oh, that's good. You know how back then they used to show like a show several times because there was only three networks. So you would watch it and then it would be on like and they didn't have anything that you couldn't have it on other channels. So you would find it on the reruns of because they had like." They had the three major channels, and then there was Channel 13, and this is in L.A., Channel 13 and Channel 11, where they showed a lot of the repeats, and they would show a lot of the shows that you just saw on the main thing over again on, like, Channel 11 or Channel 13 in syndication, like, about a month later. So when that show showed up, I would keep watching it, and I actually used my tape recorder and taped her so I could... Because, you know, there was no VCR back then. I taped stuff.
Right, wow. Oh, that's funny.
That was
mean. That's very clever.
I still have some of the cassettes.
Well, that's awesome. Well, yeah, I actually would do things like that, too. So that's good, though. See, you're using your creative, your mind was creative even as a young girl, and you're, you know, finding ways to record these things and relive them, and yeah, just that's what we do. That's what the creative mind does. So yeah, we're all connected that way.
I mean, I did that when I was older too. When I was in high school, and I really wanted to be an actress. I would tape favorite scenes on a VCR or anything, on a cassette player. Back then, in the old days. They used to have like little cassette players that were like square, rectangular, and you put the tape in and you hit it, record, and you could record stuff. You used an MP3 now. But I used to tape stuff like To Catch a Thief or North by Northwest or classic Rear Window, classic movies, and I would like tape my favorite scenes so I could write. I would take my favorite scene, then I would type it all up, and then I'd take it to my acting class, and I would perform. That would be my scene study or my monologue.
Oh, wow. Oh, there you go. Very cool.
Did you do weird things like that for your photography? I mean, did you just, like if you couldn't do it, you figured out a way to do it?
Yeah, I'm like that with most things in life, really. But yeah, absolutely with the photography, because that's what we do. I mean, we're all sort of problem solvers. You know, we have to kind of be mechanical thinkers. We have to, you know, it's overcoming obstacles, overcoming creative hurdles. It could be, you know, fabricating hurdles. It could be how you get something to move a certain way or look a certain way, or there's all kinds of things we got to do like that. So yeah, that's pretty much any shoot that I do is going to have something like that in it where I got to creatively problem solve.
Is that how you come up with things that maybe would be unusual visually? Because your stuff is so ethereal and esoteric, and I just wonder how you come up with those concepts. Is it just, do you play with your people that your models or the subject of who your photography and say, "Here, try this," and then how do you get to that point where it's like so real?
Yeah, I like that question. And thanks for this description of what you're seeing with my work. I'm thinking that, yeah, I mean, that's a big part of it. See, and a lot of it depends on the model, like the person who's modeling for me and what I want to get out of them and what the subject of the shoot is. If it's about the dresses, which incidentally, if you see like most of the pictures that I submitted for today's talk, those are all fashion images. They're all like recent fashion images. So that's kind of like the most recent thing that I've been pouring a lot of heart and soul into lately, that's personal work, besides my commercial work and, you know, paid jobs that I'm doing. But yeah, as you said, those models, depending on the model and depending on their look and depending on what I want to get out of the shoot, I have to kind of really problem solve and figure out a way to get them to do things that would maybe put more emphasis on the dress and not so much on them, even if they're less experienced models, which a lot of times we have to work with because we don't have huge budgets for, you know, world-class, you know, models as I wish we would sometimes. But yeah, that's what I do. I have to kind of maybe position them a certain way or maybe have them gesture a certain way or walk a certain way just to really pour the emphasis on the concept and then the dress. So that's kind of what I do. And so I direct them accordingly. So it's all in the directing on the day of the shoot. That's kind of how I do it. And I just, it's hard for me to describe it sitting here on the couch talking to you, but when I'm in the midst of doing a shoot, it just comes to me. I just know what to do. I know what I'm looking for. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. The creative part of, well, anything, which is what I'm fascinated with, what makes people creative, what makes them tick, why do they go into this field? I mean, everybody that has a creative bent, but everybody uses it differently. Like, my brother is very creative when he does his cooking. That's where he pours all his creativity, creating things. Like, he'll take a stale cookie, chop it up, and put it into his oatmeal. He loves experimenting.
Oh, wow, okay.
It's odd. But it's interesting. But I'm just saying, everybody has their own way of being creative. What inspires you? Where does your creativity, do you think, where does it come from?
Yeah, so a lot of it, kind of as we talked about earlier, you know, we talked a lot about television shows and movies and things like that. And so a lot of the birthing place of my creativity is from those places that I mentioned, you know, as we talked about earlier. But from there, that's just like the soil of the foundation, basically, where it's kind of was where it originally all came from, this very almost psychedelic melange of, you know, sci-fi and fantasy television and cartoons and movies and all that. They just kind of got my brain working in those directions. But then as I evolved and got older, and I obviously now as an adult, I'm sort of thinking realistically, like, well, what am I given to work with, or what do I want to work with? Like, for instance, the dresses that I sent you, the pictures of the models, in other words, the photos that I sent you for today's show, those dresses were designed by a designer, Galina Mahalova. And I know I've mentioned her in past shows, and her stuff just inspires me. And I'm just like, wow, I see something that she makes. I'm like, oh, my God, that's so cool. And so what happens is I'll see that dress, and my job is to figure out, okay, what location is going to make this dress look like it belongs there? In other words, instead of just taking a model and one of these dresses and photographing them against a white wall in the studio or against some brick wall out on the street somewhere, what place or what thing can I manufacture or fabricate to make the dresses look like, okay, this is where this model and this dress belongs at least in my vision. So that's how it comes about. So it starts with the designer or the fabricator or the manufacturer of the piece that I'm photographing. And then from there, I draw the inspiration to say, wow, that's so cool. I can see this red dress being in a, for instance, the one with the girl who's walking away from the camera towards that sculpture that's in red out in the desert. That was a that was simply a matter of me remembering a location that had that sculpture out in the middle of nowhere. And once I saw that dress, when Galina brought it to me, he says, you know, hey, let's photograph this one. And I was like, oh, absolutely. And I looked at it and thought, I know just the spot. I know where I want to photograph this. I just knew. It just hit me within seconds. Sometimes it doesn't, it takes a lot longer. But that one I knew. And then, like, the one with the dresses with the gal in the Charlie Chaplin inspired dresses, or the flapper dress, that one, yeah, I wanted to do something custom with. So I knew that I needed to create an environment that would basically look of my own imagination, of course, but something that was simple and yet effective and graphic and yet still made the dress look like, okay, it kind of belongs there. The colors or the shapes or the forms give it sort of, you know, a new life and make it look like, okay, this is where this dress belongs, as I said. So that's a lot of what it is. It's just taking the dresses and seeing a vision and making it come to life. And that's all art directing. So that's something that I try to also pride myself in, with beyond just the technical aspects of photography, is also the art directing aspect, which is knowing how to style something, where to photograph something, you know, what to do with the model, how to have them pose, how to bring out their gesture. All those things are what goes into that creative process.
That's funny, because one of my questions, because the red dress in the desert was one of my favorites of all of them. And I was like, that was one of my questions. You're welcome. What made you think of going into the desert when you just answered? It's such a cool picture. And it's in the banner ad. I think it's the third picture. But it's one of my favorites of all of them. I love the Charlie Chaplin dress too, but then that's because I love Charlie Chaplin.
Yeah. Of course. Well, even the model, even the selection of the models is kind of important. Like the one with the Charlie Chaplin dress, her name's Allison. We worked with her years before, and I thought, man, I just can't imagine another model in this dress. She just has the look, you know. So I just that gets more into casting. So there's a little bit of casting directors going on in my mind as well, besides, of course, the photography and the art direction and the fabrication, all the other things. So photographers are very much, we wear many belts. You know what I mean? We have to do everything, a lot of us. And unless you're working with someone who has it all planned out and they're just simply hiring you to push buttons on your camera and take the picture and expose it properly. But with these personal projects that I do with Galina or with Adrian or with, you know, anything else, or Tim Russ, for instance, that I just did recently, it's all in my mind. I'm creating all of it, and sometimes on the fly, you know.
When you do something with somebody who is like an actor, like Tim Russ or Adrian, do you collaborate with them on what you're going to wear? I mean, how does it come about? Like, some of the clothes are amazing that you put on Adrian. It just comes out of nowhere. How's that appeared? What is the process?
I hope Adrienne's listening or does listen to this at some point, because I got to give her credit for her outfits. There was only one outfit that I ever really suggested she wear and that I brought with me from Galina's boutique to wear, and that was the one in the blue that's on the your banner for today's show. That dress on the rocks in Malibu, that was something that I had conceived of and thought she would look good in, and thought, you know, an ocean environment would be probably most appropriate for this. And that was my doing. But all the other clothes she wears, though, are all her construct. She just has this very unique sense of style, and I think she brings that every time we do a shoot. I mean, she usually has the ideas, I mean, about what she wants to do, and she'll run it by me. And that's where 90% of it comes from, at least in terms of how she's dressed or what she wears. So that's all coming from her sense of style and combinations and ensembles and all that.
Yeah, it's so cool. You guys work so well together, and she has a lot of photographers she works with, but I don't know. It's just something special with the ones with you guys. They click.
Oh, well, that's great. No, I so appreciate that, because I know she puts out a million shots. I mean, she's been photographed a million times by a million different people, but I like what we do, and that's the thing, though, is I try to make sure that when we do something, it's going to be something that's more timeless, I hope, or something that's going to just, I don't know, be different or have that special concept to it that just isn't quite like everything else. And that's exactly what my goal is with her and with my photos, because that's how I want to, that's how I am as a photographer. That's what I think most of us want to be, is remembered or at least looked at as someone who has a style or a unique sensibility about art or concept. And that's what I want to show through my work, particularly with Adrian and people, you know, like Tim, for instance, also, or anyone really.
You have like all different kinds of types of pictures you take. You do architecture, high fashion, science fiction, nature, all kinds of different stuff. Do you have a personal favorite, or do you just like all of it?
Yeah, that's a really good question, because I don't really have a favorite. I would think, though, in terms of what I post most often, that's going to be maybe evident of what I'm into for the moment or what I'm working on for the moment. But I don't want to classify anything as being a favorite so much, because, you know, a year from now I could be really pouring all my energy and effort into my fine artwork, which is going to be the stuff with Transfix, which are the people in white, which we talked about a little bit about. And mm-hmm. that's going to culminate into an actual physical show sometime in 2019. And I got to start getting those images prepared for that. And that's a totally different type of work that I'm doing, besides the stuff like with Adrian or besides the fashion stuff that you see. So there's no favorite. It's really, I'm just very inspired and interested in the things that I'm currently exhibiting on my website, for instance, like my theme park stuff. That's totally different than what I do with my fashion stuff or my stuff with Adrian, for example. But it's just stuff that I'm, you know, I really like going to theme parks. I like riding on roller coasters, and I decided, well, I should maybe take pictures of these things and maybe, you know, try to express my love for these places with in my photos, and try to have a unique style that is evident with these shots. So that's like another example. So like science fiction in general, I don't really photograph. I wouldn't say anything that is specifically rooted in science fiction. It's more inspirations that are sort of drawn from the sci-fi genre that I maybe incorporate into some of my fashion work or the way I see things or things like that, you know, if that clarifies things a little bit.
Okay. That's really cool. We're coming to the end, so I want to give you an opportunity, if you have any shows or things that are coming up that you want people to know about. And also, could you give your website so people can find you?
Oh, yeah, yeah. First of all, my website is chrislumis.com, and that's C-H-R-I-S-L-O-O-M, as in Mike, I-S.com. And then, so if you have a chance to check out my website, please do. And then also, right now, I'm in sort of just coming down from all the projects I worked with Galina, the fashion designer, I'm trying to get all those finished. I still have shots that I haven't finished from at least two of the shoots we did recently that I'm working on. So I'm going to be finishing those up in the weeks ahead and getting those out there. We're hoping to put together an actual coffee table book at one point. I don't know when that's going to actually happen as far as the physical products being available, but that will be something I want to announce to you when I have it done. If anyone's interested in that. And then also the show I mentioned with Transfix, which are the people in white, that's more fine artwork that I'm exhibiting. And we're going to have a show, like I said, sometime in 2019 for that. So as we get closer to that, or maybe, you know, when that happens, I want to definitely talk to you again about that to get the word out to people who, even if they can't be there, they can at least know about it. And I'll have a lot of visuals associated with it. So that's going to be ongoing through the rest of this year. And then anything that pops up too, like Adrian and I are talking about doing another shoot. Like I mentioned, she's got an idea for something, again, sort of a creative fun type thing that we like to do. So I'll keep you posted as that happens as well. And I'm going to really try to make the next one we do something really special. given the time and the money to make it all happen. So anyways, that's all stuff that I have coming up. And beyond that, it's just hustling for work. That's what I'm doing.
Yeah. Also, would you give out your Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, anything that you want people, you know, the media, different media, so people can find you that way too? Because you have some beautiful stuff on Instagram.
Oh, yeah, yeah, my Instagram definitely. So if you have a chance, please connect with me on Instagram. Follow me if you can, and I will follow you back. And my Instagram is Chris Loomis Photo, and again, that's ChrisLoomisPhoto. That's my Instagram feed. And my Twitter feed is pretty much the same thing. It's just spelling photo differently. So Chris Loomis Photo, but that's FOTO. That's my Twitter feed. And then my Facebook is going to be just Chris Loomis Photography, and that's all spelled pretty much as it sounds. So that's how you can find me on social media. I got to admit, I've not been on Facebook that much lately. I don't know why. It's just a weird, function of the universe perhaps. But I'm just not posting as much there. I'm pouring most of my heart and soul on Instagram. If you want to see my most recent work, check out my Instagram. And, yeah, or check out my website because there's new stuff on there and updates to that. And anybody wants to call or talk or chat, please feel free to email me or call me. And that's pretty much it.
Thank you. And I can't wait to hear the next thing when you're ready to talk about your fine art installation. That will be so cool. We'll make a date.
Yeah, for sure. That would be great. I look forward to that.
Thank you so much for coming on the show, Chris. I always love talking to you.
Well, likewise, and I'm here, and thanks for having me on today, and let's stay in touch.
Absolutely. Thank you, and thank you for chatting with Sherry.